Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast to help you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. I'm your host, Amber Evenson, here with Poppy, recording for you together, following up on such an amazing episode. I heard from so many of you that you guys loved the episode with Jessica, all about nervous system regulation. She's brilliant. I literally discovered her on TikTok, and I heard you. You loved it. We're going to get more into nervous system regulation and what that has to do with wealth in every area of your life. By the end of this episode, you are going to be looking at some of your most ordinary habits completely differently, because some of the things you're doing every single day are your body's way of managing a stress load you probably don't even know that you're carrying. Nobody taught us how to read our bodies. We are all high achievers. We're very good at pushing through. That's literally what we've been rewarded for our whole life. So what that means is we can be completely under stress and dysregulated for years and not know it. And we just keep going. There is so much cultural proof around this. This hustle and grind culture is just nervous system dysregulation with a better PR team, honestly. Like the girl boss era, it's over. We were told that women were supposed to outwork everyone, ignore our body. And we know now that burnout is not a productivity issue. It is a regulation issue. And it costs money in ways that we're never tracking. So today's episode, I'm so excited about this. We're diving in. We're going to break this into three parts. The first section, I have done so much research on ways that stress is showing up in our body. I'm going to put myself on blast with so many things I didn't know that I was doing that are actually my body being like, help me, you're pushing too hard. And then we're going to go into why high performers are especially at risk for missing it. And then I'm going to explain why this matters so much for the life that you're trying to build, especially for your money. And stick around towards the end. I've got some good shout outs today celebrating you rich girls. Let's get into it. I want to start with something that might feel completely unrelated to money, and I promise you it's not. I want to talk about what's happening in your body right now, today, that might be a signal you've been ignoring for a really long time. And listen, not only did I hear from so many of you that Jessica's episode was phenomenal and she was so amazing, but I've been hearing from not just listeners, but like my friends, my clients, everybody is burnt out, and that's for good reason. Just to take a quick off-ramp from reality into woo-woo land, let's get real. We're in the middle of eclipse season. We're in the middle of Mercury retrograde. We're in Pisces season, which is the last sign of the zodiac. I think we're still shaking off some of that year of the snake, that shadow. Everybody's just going through it right now. And it's not just like we're tired or stressed. I'm talking about crashing out. I had a mini crash out last week where I just hit a wall. And the thought of answering a text message or opening an email was paralyzing to me. Justin was actually the impetus for the inspiration of this episode because I mentioned to him that my eyesight was getting really bad and I was having to take my contacts out earlier in the day because my eyes were so tired. And he was like, oh, duh, that's just your central nervous system fatigue. You're just going through it. And then I just happened to run into my neighbor, Christina, shout out Christina, on a Friday afternoon, and she was just coming back from the optometrist. And Christina is such a high performer, and she was like, no, literally, I was so stressed that I was failing this eye test, but also it's the end of the week. I'm so exhausted. I can't even see straight. So why am I going to get my prescription looked at the end of the day on Friday? And I was like, wow, that is such a good point. And it's obviously all connected to fatigue, right? And so I went down a bit of a rabbit hole and I started to research some of the surprising physical signs of your nervous system running in survival mode all of the time. And like I said, I'm going to put myself on blast. So many of these, I was like, I'm sorry, that's my nervous system speaking. I thought that was just me being me. So I'm going to rattle through this surprising list that I put together. And just like put a finger down if any of these relate to you and the way that you work, because I was a little shook. So the first one I just talked about, obviously, is your eyesight getting worse. And what's going on there is that your elevated adrenaline is increasing pressure inside of your eyes. So that little pressure cooker near your brain is making your eyes go blurry or have strain or light sensitivity, or, you know, when you get that like eyelid twitch when you're super stressed. That's what that is. Tunnel vision, overly dry eyes, like all that is connected. So, okay, we get it. It's eyesight, it's physical, it's kind of obvious. How about this one? This is me, 1000%. If you need a scalding hot shower to feel human, this is me. I need my shower to be boiling water temperature of the sun. Heat triggers a parasympathetic response in your body, and it's your body's manual override button when you're too activated to come down naturally. So your nervous system is looking for a strong input to override that like low-grade stress hum you feel in your body all the time. So a normal temperature shower, it just feels like inadequate. You need it to be uncomfortably hot to self-medicate. This is crazy because that is me. Even when it's 100 degrees outside, I'm taking a scalding hot shower. Okay, here's another one that's me that I had no idea that had anything to do with my body, my nervous system, my stress response. It's if you have to sleep with extra blankets, pillows, or if you need pressure to fall asleep. So I sleep with our sheet, our duvet, and then I have to have a blanket on top of me. And I often sleep with a pillow between my legs, which ends up on top of my body. I literally also need to have a super tight eye mask, like pressure on my face. And that's what triggers me to fall asleep. Like as soon as I put my sleep mask on, I'm out. But if I don't have my sleep mask, like I was traveling for work a couple weeks ago and I forgot it, I could not fall asleep because I needed that pressure on my face. And what's going on here, according to all the research that I did, is that your body is doing this thing called proprioceptive seeking. I just learned the word proprioceptive. I hope you're impressed. I learned that from my private Pilates instructor, where just as an update, I'm still terrible at Pilates, never got any better. But proprioception is like where your body is in space. And so understanding and knowing in your brain where your body is in space is part of Pilates, like understanding if your pelvis is tilted or if your back is actually doing what it's supposed to do, all that kind of stuff. Your nervous system, when it's overly stressed, it's craving that pressure so that it can feel where your body is in space. It's like self-soothing, so you know where you are, basically, and your mind can be more at ease. It releases serotonin and dopamine. So people with chronic stress or anxiety or nervous system dysregulation are constantly reporting they need more pressure to feel settled enough to sleep. So this is, again, the whole weighted blanket situation. Now, I don't have to go into this because this is one of the more obvious ones I think we're all aware of, is that when you're in chronic survival mode or burnout or you're stressed, you're not going to sleep well. You're going to have a hard time falling asleep. You're going to wake up even after getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep and still feel exhausted. You might be waking up at like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because your cortisol is spiking at the wrong time. Like we know this, right? Well, here's another one that I didn't know. Caffeine stops working. So this is me. You guys know, if you've been following me on Instagram, my one most embarrassing addiction, and like things could be worse. I could be addicted to drugs. I'm not. I'm addicted to Coffee Mate. I'm specifically addicted to the zero sugar, what is it? Italian sweet cream, Coffee Mate. And listen, you guys, like I know that I'm drinking plastic. I understand those are straight chemicals that are getting lodged in my liver and my kidneys are like, help me, don't have this. But I'm physically addicted to it. I could not stop thinking about it when I cut it out for 3 months. So I'm just like allowing myself to have a little bit of a fun time in the morning, okay? But the thing is that the coffee is not waking me up anymore. It's not even making me feel anxious or more tired. It's just literally not working anymore. So that's a problem because first I was having one iced coffee in the morning and then I was treating myself to two. And then I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like two isn't making me more energized. Like I still feel the same way. That's not healthy. And that is a sign that your body, my body is chronically stressed. So what I've been doing is tapering off and I'm going to try to quit the Coffee Mate, but I'm also just having decaf iced coffee in the morning because then I get that dopamine from the sugar sweetener and I'm having green tea instead because that's a little bit more sustainable. And I'm trying to wean myself off. I'm going to have to do like a full caffeine detox because my body just cannot wake up from caffeine anymore. So needless to say, I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my God, this is me, this is me, this is me. And let me just rattle off a few other ones that you may or may not know, but these are other things, other signs physically that might show up in your body that are trying to tell you that you are in survival mode, but you are not mentally connecting that in your brain, okay? Suddenly becoming noise sensitive, like noises are really overwhelming for me. This is like when football's on and the dishwasher is running and the laundry is going, I get so overstimulated. I mentioned this earlier, but the thought of responding to a text message or an email can feel absolutely paralyzing and impossible. Feeling emotionally numb, instead of feeling anxious or sad, you just go dull and you don't care about any things. You might not feel any excitement or joy, or the memes that might make you laugh or the TikToks that are making you laugh are just not making you laugh. They're just not cutting it anymore. Digestive issues, bloating, stomach pain, nausea, appetite changes, obviously getting sick more often. This was a weird one for me, is having random body aches. I get really bad body aches during my cycle, like leading up to it. And that usually is like low estrogen, I think. But if you're having random body aches and you can't get through them through exercise or self-care, that's where we have an issue. Getting sick every time you go on vacation when your immune system finally exhales, when like your hypervigilance drops. This was me in college going on Christmas break. And after studying so hard for finals, I would just go home and just be sick the whole time. It was miserable. Clenching your jaw, grinding your teeth, needing noise or stimulation to fall asleep. Ooh, this is also me. I listen to a podcast to fall asleep. The silence feels threatening to an activated nervous system. Yikes. Crying or feeling like you want to cry over something small, which is just kind of like, okay, your container is full and a small thing is just going to like tip you over the edge. Of course, like tension in your shoulders, neck, and jaw. Brain fog, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, is this just a symptom of living in 2026? I mean, we're not only getting inundated from work and family and social responsibilities, but the wars and the news and the economy and AI and all of this fear mongering. It's a lot. It's just a lot. And so if you started with 10 fingers up and you have like all your fingers down and all your toes down and you're like me and you're kind of having this recognition of, oh my gosh, I've been pushing through, I don't want you to feel bad. I do not feel bad. I mentioned earlier that I had a full-on burnout kind of breakdown the other day. I just got to that point where I just couldn't do anything more. And the thing is that I was really gentle with myself for like a day and a half and I recovered. I got back. I was like feeling great again, positive again, optimistic again, energized, excited again. And I really had to let myself rest for a good like 36 hours. And it came out of nowhere. I mean, it honestly came out of nowhere. In a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly why being so good at your job or running your business might be making this worse, and why the women that are listening to this podcast are often the last to catch it. Again, my bounce back rate has become so much better. I'm back in the saddle in a healthy way, not in an overproductive way, but I'm not having a bad time with my life. I'm going through life and I'm recognizing that I'm dysregulated in some of these physical ways, but it doesn't feel like so impossible to overcome. And it doesn't feel like what I'm doing is unsustainable. So what I'm trying to do are these little practices, which we're going to get into over the course of the next few episodes, that have been honestly shaping everything for me. But let me tell you why you probably are like me and you didn't even recognize that this is happening to you. It is because high performers are constantly rewarded for overriding discomfort. Think about it. As you're going through school and through college and your first jobs, you are getting praised for pushing through and staying calm under pressure and delivering anyway. Your nervous system has learned that the signal to stop does not get answered, so it's not going to send it as clearly. And I think especially in girl boss culture, a lot of us have mistaken like baseline stress for our personality. Like, oh, I'm just an anxious person, or oh, I've always been like this. And it's like, yeah, but it's also because we've been in a stress response for so long that we've stopped recognizing it as a stress response. So this high performer trap is that we're so good at functioning in a state of high stress that nobody, including ourselves, notices the cost until it becomes impossible to ignore. And by then, our body has been trying to scream at us for years. And I learned this quote from Lori Harder. It's like the universe or your body or whatever is going to tap you on the shoulder as many times as it can, and you're going to continue to ignore it until it hits you in the face with a 2x4. So you know what? Like, I'm not having a terrible time right now. I'm enjoying my life, but I can still see if I'm listening to the nuanced, more quiet signs of my body that I am not stressed, right? And that's normal for rich girls. We are high income, high achievement, multiple income streams. We are the most likely to be chronically overloaded with this stress or pressure that's either external or internal, and we're probably the least likely to recognize it. So this is where we connect it all back, right? Why does this matter for your money? Well, it's not just about your money. You know that I don't look at wealth as just what's in your bank account. Your wealth includes money wealth, time wealth, relationship wealth, purpose wealth, and health wealth. So your nervous system doesn't just feel bad. It's going to make decisions for you on default. You just can't build wealth from a place of financial fight or flight or physical fight or flight. It's just not sustainable. You can earn in survival mode. Lots of people do it. But structuring, growing, protecting, enjoying your wealth, it requires your prefrontal cortex to be online and your amygdala to be turned off. Remember, your amygdala is the fear center. It's the part of your brain that gets activated when you're being chased by a grizzly bear or a wildebeest or a debt collector or a medical bill or whatever it is. So even if you're like me, like thinking you're having a good time, I'm building a successful business, building a successful team, but you're starting to recognize that you have some of these subversive things going on, this episode's just about what's happening in our body, right? And we're going to talk about what to do in a couple episodes later, like with those feelings when they come up. And so learning to process things appropriately, learning how to feel your feelings and give your space for them and actually process them, not just revisiting your childhood wounds in therapy all the time. This is the stuff that I learned literally, you guys, a month after I got married when everything was imploding in my life and I had to figure it out fast. And I spent like $10,000 on coaching and reading books and courses and intensive therapy because nobody ever taught me this before. And so it's been the last year that I'm starting to notice these little things, these little subversive habits that I have, because burnout and chronic stress, it's not just a work problem. It's a whole life regulation situation. Because when your nervous system is chronically stressed, it's going to impact all the five areas of wealth. And for me, as I mentioned, right after I got married, right before we got married, I was so chronically stressed that I was damaging our relationship in a very, very real way. Because when your nervous system is overwhelmed or overfunctioning, connection becomes harder. You are hypervigilant or you're less patient or you're more irritable. You want to withdraw. You feel emotionally numb and you're constantly scanning for stress and signals that things are wrong. You're conserving energy. You're not looking to be vulnerable and connected because you have to be present and calm in order to do that. So even strong relationships can feel strained, not because the relationship is the problem, but because your nervous system does not have the capacity to fully engage. This was me. This was the whole reason why I created Old Money Mindset, the course all about emotional regulation, because I had never been taught how to emotionally regulate before, and it was destroying my relationship. So that's the first and most important thing for me. I don't think there's anything more important in my life than my relationships with people that I love, and I was damaging them because I was so dysregulated. Obviously, the other category that is obvious, obviously it's obvious. Oh my God, Amber, okay, you guys get it. But I have to say this, health, obviously. Your body's gonna be the thing that starts sending signals that something is off. And whether it starts with like exhaustion or brain fog or not sleeping well, caffeine not hitting like it used to, or you're getting sick, like these are not random symptoms. They're signs that your nervous system is stuck in survival mode and your body is gonna prioritize short-term survival over long-term health. So I'm not a doctor, but according to people that do study these things, these types of systems, or I guess this type of chronic overstress, is where other worse diseases stem from. Now, I am not trying to say that if you're chronically stressed, it's going to cause you cancer or autoimmune issues. I'm not fear-mongering in that way. But if you think about it logically, it kind of makes sense. Like if you're not digesting things well, you're not getting the nutrients that you need in order to have your body be healthy and grow. And it's more likely that's going to cascade or become exponentially something else. I don't know what it is, but if your digestion is off or you're not sleeping, your brain is foggy, you're going to feel more drowsy during the day and be more likely to get in a car accident or fall down the stairs. Like, don't even take it to the like stress causes disease. It does. We know this from heart disease and all the other things, but I'm not going to like make that reach, but I am going to say, let's just think logically about it. If our bodies are not operating well, then we're not going to be well. So we talked about relationships. We talked about health. The other one is purpose. I think this is actually like such an underrated category of wealth, because when humans have purpose and they have a mission in life, like progress is being human. Like if you're not growing, you're dying. Just think about a flower or a tree. If you're not growing, you're dying. So if you don't know what your purpose is, what you're here to do on this planet, or see your place in the bigger picture, or have some faith in why things are unfolding the way they're unfolding, that takes clarity and creativity and being optimistic and coming from a place of faith. And all of those ideas, all of those thoughts, they come from the part of your brain responsible for higher thinking. So when you're burned out and your brain's in survival mode, decision-making becomes harder, your motivation drops, keeping up with your habits is harder, and everything that you once cared about just feels heavy or meaningless, and you think that you've lost your passion, you feel like you've lost your spark. In reality, it's just, again, your nervous system doesn't have the energy to support it. Another dimension of wealth is time wealth. Obviously, when you're burnt out, everything's harder and takes longer. It just destroys your time efficiency. You don't have the focus, you're procrastinating, and it's not because you're lazy, it's because you just don't have the like cognitive bandwidth to do stuff. And you make more mistakes and you're not delegating properly. You're just doing the things that are routine to you. And that's just because your brain's prioritizing energy. Like I just have to conserve the energy that I have. So you end up spending more time working, but getting less done. Not the best way to optimize our time. And then the fifth and the most important in this context is the financial wealth. And this is something that I don't see talked about enough, of why burnout or being in chronic survival mode actually affects your money. And I think it's the most subversive way that you can lose or drain money. So the obvious ones I would say is like when you're burnt out, when you're operating from survival mode, you're more likely to become reactive. You're not thinking about your budget. You're working from a place of like treat yourself or like impulsive spending. You are avoiding looking at your credit card statement. You are, you know, ordering DoorDash. You're going for convenience and low lift things because you're just chronically stressed. That totally makes sense, right? But the other thing in this is that you are more than likely underperforming at whatever you do. If you are in a chronic state of fight or flight caused by anything external or internal or financial fight or flight, if it's the money that's stressing you out and it's causing you to be dysregulated, you're likely going to be losing leadership capacity, not thinking super creatively from your prefrontal cortex. If you run your own business, you're probably going to be undercharging because getting into a negotiation or raising your prices and the fear of what that might do is so overwhelming to your brain that it's safer to just not. Even bigger than this, when you are dysregulated, especially chronically, it's interesting how it can impact your business or your career, because I think we often think people or businesses fail because they lack strategy or they just weren't qualified enough for the job. And I don't think that's true. I think it's more about failures starting with nervous system dysregulation, like at the leadership level. As they say, everything comes to the top. And if you've ever worked for a boss that was like hot and cold, or you would call them, you would never know what version that you were going to get, that puts the whole team on high alert. So when the leadership is dysregulated, everybody becomes dysregulated. But not only does the leader lose clarity, they lose restraint, they lose the ability for long-term thinking, they lose the ability to think about their position. And there are plenty of examples I can think of in business where we've seen this. Like, I think one of the most famous ones is the original CEO of Uber. His name was Travis Kalanick. There's such a great mini-series. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Travis Kalanick in the show. I think it's called Superbad. I know that's wrong. Super something. I think it's on Showtime, HBO or something. Just Google like Uber show. It's so interesting seeing how one of the most powerful, largest companies in the world got started from this place of complete dysregulation. And the thing that was really the downfall of Travis Kalanick, not only was the super toxic work culture that was created at this company. And still to this day, Uber is known for having not such a healthy work culture. Actually, their new CEO is in the news again for same type of story. But what happened with Travis was that he was in a recorded ride with an Uber driver, and the Uber driver started asking him questions about like driver pay. And he started to like kind of go back and forth and tit and tat. He got super defensive. He got super reactive, and it was all recorded. And so instead of regulating and responding thoughtfully or having like a canned response or PR response in his mind, he escalated everything emotionally. And this clip went super viral, and it reinforced this broader narrative of like aggression and reactiveness and just generally questioning, like, is this a good leader? And it's one of the things that led to him actually getting forced out of his role as CEO from the board of directors. Can you imagine? Like, you created this company, you're the founder, you're the CEO, and you get fired from your own company. Literally, he got fired as the CEO and replaced. This is a classic example of dysregulation leading to an amazing, and I say amazing in like a negative term, amazing financial collapse and opportunity collapse for this person. Another one that we know of all the time that's always getting criticized for this is Elon Musk. Like, he goes on Joe Rogan and he looks crazy. He's Twitter ranting in the middle of the night. He's impulsively like saying things. Or how about Donald Trump? What are people saying about these leaderships that are so reactive and responsive? Like, it breaks trust, right? With Elon Musk, him going on Joe Rogan has led to SEC investigations, advertiser withdrawals on X. He's had a ton of volatility in the stocks and all the companies that he owns. Even highly successful leaders, financially successful leaders, are not immune to what happens when you are dysregulated. And of course, these people are under a tremendous amount of stress, but there are real financial consequences to this. And here's the thing. This episode is not about just saying, oh my God, the sky is falling, we are all broken. This episode is not about fixing us. Like, we are not broken. I do not consider myself broken. I lived in a state of seeking out self-help and therapy and going to the retreats and yoga and meditation for so many years in my 20s and early 30s of just thinking I was broken. And I finally gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm not broken. I'm improving. And this is just about recognition, because we can't change what we can't see. And most of us, myself included, I don't know if you can hear Poppy snoring in the background, by the way, but it's very cute. Most of us were never taught this. I mean, I'm an only child. I was never taught about conflict resolution. I was never talked about emotional regulation. I was never taught any of these things. I've just been operating from a place of what is basically the most frictionless way to survive. And so now that I see these things, the pattern for me is pretty consistent. Chronic stress or pressure leads to nervous system dysregulation that can lead to emotional reactivity in your relationship with work, with friends, with family. That also leads to poor decisions, loss of credibility, loss of financial opportunities, reputational damage. Like, if you've ever gotten in a fight when you're on your period because you're just so irritable, and then you have the fallout for that for a week, like, that's what happens in a state of constant nervous system dysregulation. Your capacity is collapsed. So when we're talking about burnout, we're talking about nervous system, we're not just talking about stress, we're talking about something that can slowly drain all five forms of wealth if it goes unchecked: your health, your relationships, your purpose, your time, and of course, your money. So I'm just putting it out there that maybe you didn't recognize these things are happening. And like I said, I'm always putting myself on blast. Like, I will always go first. I will always call myself out. Like, I'm doing a lot of these things. And if you're with me and you're interested in having a more peaceful life and understanding what's on the other side of it, your job this week is just to notice one thing. Just notice one thing that you're doing. Don't fix it. You don't need to research and spiral. Just what is one thing in your daily routine that might be like your body asking for something your brain hasn't caught up to yet? Like, you're not bad with money. You're not bad in relationships. You're probably making financial decisions from the part of your brain that's feeling like it's being chased by a grizzly bear. That is a solvable problem. but only once you can see it, right? So my big thing, my journey, especially over the last year, I mean, I've gotten from such a state of financial fight or flight from when I was in chronic debt, I thought I would be in debt forever for the rest of my life, for sure. And then kind of overcoming that and leveling up, and then overcoming this chronic dysregulation where I was crying all the time in my relationship, flying off the handle, not able to resolve things properly because I didn't know how to process emotions or understand what was going on in my own body, in my own mind. I was constantly in this cycle of spiral. And I'm talking, it was going to take 5 to 7 business days for Justin and I to resolve an issue. I was going to be spiraling from something that happened at work for 3 months because a contract went awry or a client went crazy or I hired the wrong person. I mean, I was losing sleep over it for 90 days. Now my bounce back rate is 36 hours. That's what this is about. It's just about improving. It's just about feeling like we are control of our lives and our emotions and have agency over what's happening for us so we don't have these money leaks. So next week, we're going to go somewhere that I think is really important, which is, you know, I make a joke at the beginning of every episode, like building the trust funds we wish we were born with. We all got some sort of inheritance from our parents. Probably not money, but the story about money. The one that nobody sat down and told you, but you just like absorbed it. It's from your family, from your childhood, from pop culture, from church, from all the things. And we have to break down like where all of this comes from. For me, it was a huge aha moment of the ways that I was thinking that was causing so much more stress. And when I rewrote those money beliefs or I rewrote those ideas that I didn't even recognize were not mine, I was absorbing them from other people, everything started to get easier for me. So today's episode is just about noticing, just noticing how burnout or stress can impact every area of wealth, our health, relationships, purpose, time, money. But understanding the impact is just the beginning. So in the next episode, we're going to start uncovering where many of these coping mechanisms, like I said, the most frictionless way I'm operating, which is just default, where that came from. Most of our patterns around stress and money were learned early in life, and our brain just wired itself around those experiences. So the habits we have today are just patterns. And I'm really excited that next week I'm giving you a mini free chapter of the Old Money Mindset workbook that's going to help you walk through this process step by step. I got a lot of feedback from you guys in the Old Money listener survey that we did last year, that money beliefs and just like understanding how money works and how to put on a wealthy money mindset is of high importance. So I'm going to gift you with one free chapter from Old Money Mindset workbook, and it's going to break down all of these old patterns that you might not even know that you are participating in. So next week, next Tuesday, mark your calendars. I have something for you that's totally free. I'm really looking forward to it. But before I go, I have two amazing shout outs today. Okay, the first one is from my girl Gala, who wrote me a note. She just enrolled in Old Money Mindset and she started the intro and she was like, hey, by the way, she messaged me on both Old Money's Instagram and my personal, and I apologize. I have been so bad at responding quickly to DMs. So Gala, thank you for messaging on my personal, because she was like, hey, I just wanted to flag this. And I was so embarrassed, you guys. And I'm so grateful, Gala, that you pointed this out. She's like, the intro version you uploaded is the unedited version. I just know I would want someone to tell me. You guys, I went to go watch the unedited version of Old Money Mindset. And don't worry, there is like 60 seconds every 5 minutes of me just like pouting into the camera, fixing my hair, doing the voice retakes. I uploaded the wrong version. And you girls who have been in Old Money Mindset and didn't tell me this, like, shame on you. Gala, you are the epitome of telling a girl when there's something in her teeth or she has lipstick all over her face in a really nice way. I appreciate this so much. If you guys ever see anything wonky, just let your girl know. I'm doing this all myself. Like, this is just me and the internet and trying to video edit some things. So my bad, Gala, you are awarded the award of fixing another queen's crown, and I appreciate you so much. So thank you. And all the other girlies who are in Old Money Mindset, like, let me know if anything else is wonky in there, because knowing me, it probably is. So again, thank you. And the second shout out today, the way that I gagged when I got this, this is the epitome of a shout out. And if you have somebody you want to shout out in your life, I need you to send these to me, because this is what this podcast is all about, you guys. This is from Barbara. She says, I want to shout out my sister, Gigi. She has made huge strides with her budget and is digging herself out of a financial hole after being unemployed for several months. My girl was door dashing and working as a nail tech to make things happen. She is licensed and took her hobby to help sustain her while she interviewed nonstop for her next corporate gig. I want her to know she is on the horizon of her rich girl life. She's been doing the hard work, learning to budget and regulating when money stress hits. I am super, super, super proud of the progress she's made. Shout out to Gigi. And let me double, triple, quadruple down on that. Gigi, shout out to you. This is so beautiful. Like, first of all, I love that your sister is recognizing you in this way. Like, so incredible. But also, like, this is life. We are going to, as human beings, face hardships and challenges. And it's not about the fact that those hardships happened to us. It's how we respond to them and what we do to work through them. I am so impressed. This is such an example of, again, being regulated through the hard times in order to get the growth and the beauty and the flowers that bloom from that dirt. Girl, I'm celebrating you so, so much. So send in your shout outs, your questions, tag me on Instagram. I'm gonna be better about answering DMs. I answer all of them. I'll voice note you back. I'm just slow right now, I apologize. But send in your shout outs, send in your questions, tag me on Instagram at Old Money Podcast, take a screenshot of listening to the podcast, or show me what you're doing when you're listening, tag me to show me what your rich life looks like. I wanna celebrate you, babe. Get ready for the next episode. I'm so excited for you to get into the workbook. I love you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.